Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A fascinating story continues, but let's turn now to yesterday's announcement of new diplomatic ties between the U.S. and Cuban governments. Many things went into it, including input from a conflict reconciliation nonprofit called Beyond Conflict. They've worked around the globe, from Northern Ireland to South Africa to El Salvador, getting adversaries to sit down to find a path to coexistence. And for the past 4 years, they've been enlisting leaders from those conflict areas to travel to Miami and Havana. And then, during a meeting in Washington, a light bulb went off for Beyond Conflict's co-founder Tim Phillips. Why not, he thought, get President Obama to sit down with the Pope to talk about Cuba? So they did. Tim Phillips of the Massachusetts-based Beyond Conflict is in our studios. Tim, how'd this all start?
Well, we were approached almost 5 years ago by a very prominent Cuban-American who had been very anti-Castro, anti-regime. And if you remember the Elian Gonzalez experience, that transformed him and many people in the hardline Cuban-American community.
And let's remind people who don't remember, the little boy on the raft.
Elian Gonzalez was this little boy whose mother escaped with him from Cuba on a raft. And the mother died and he survived. And then his relatives took him in. But his father wanted him back in Havana. It became a very contentious back and forth between the Cuban government and the Clinton administration.
And what ended up happening with Elian?
He was returned to Havana.
Yeah. And so this had an impact on, can you tell us who it was, the prominent Cuban-American?
Sure. His name is Carlos Saladrigas. As a young child, he also fled in the early 60s Cuba and shared a lot of these really very deeply conservative anti-Castro sentiments. And I don't think today he would say he's a fan of the Castro regime. But he came to realize that things had to change. And he was more interested in helping the people of Cuba than fighting old wars.
Yeah. So he approached you. Then what happened?
Well, he approached us with the notion of, can Cuban Americans in Cuba learn from the experience of other countries, particularly South Africa? President Mandela was still alive. He was on our advisory board. And we had a deep relationship with South Africa, both in terms of their post-apartheid transition, but then bring in leaders from both sides to Northern Ireland and many countries around the world.
Now, to have them all see how two sides can come together. So do I understand you sent people from South Africa to Cuba?
Yeah, there was a trip where some South African leaders, both from the former de Klerk government and the ANC, met privately with people in Cuba. But the South Africans were very clear, we're not there to mediate. We're there as friends to say, how can we help you think about the future?
And who did you send to Miami?
In Miami, we sent Ibrahim Rasool, the South African ambassador to the United States, who was a top ANC activist and then political leader, and Pat Doherty, who was a senior IRA commander, then a key negotiator in the Good Friday talks. And they came and talked about what it was to make peace with your enemies.
So what was the dynamic in that room when you have people from Ireland and South Africa speaking to these people who felt that they were the victims?
What was interesting, through Carlos and his colleagues at the Cuban Study Group, they were able to convene, it turns out, for the first time since the Cuban Revolution in Miami, a public conference on reconciliation. And because it wasn't Cuban Americans sort of competing with each other, as Carlos would often say, over who was the greater victim, it was to hear from people outside who could understand what it was to be a victim. And so what the person from Northern Ireland and South Africa did was say, we understand your pain, but you have to make peace with your enemies.
Well, then we understand you were at a meeting in Washington, others who had gathered to talk strategy about changing the relationship between Cuba and the U.S. When you had this, sounds like a light bulb go off, an idea about the Pope, and why not President Obama and the Pope? Did they think you were crazy?
Well, I think one or two people raised their eyebrows in the room. But this Pope proved to be such a global figure with increasing political and moral authority. And the thought was, well, wait a minute. You know, the Catholic Church has played a key role within Cuba. Maybe we should talk with the Pope, not that I would have or we would have access, but through somebody who could speak with him about, on a humanitarian basis, trying to talk with Raul Castro and President Obama about change.
Well, we'll synopsize what happens next. Kevin Cullen tells the story in today's Boston Globe. You worked through a very engaged citizen here, Jack Connors, who got a note to an aide to Boston's Cardinal O'Malley, who talked to the Pope. And here we are. The Pope and the President met a few weeks after that and talked about Cuba. And now this change. Are you worried? You know, there are people like Ted Cruz, whose father fought alongside Fidel Castro, and Ted Cruz now is very much against anything that would seem to support the regime there. One of the released Cuban prisoners is tied to the shootdown of two aid planes by the Cuban government. The survivors of those families that died in that crash are very upset about their release.
Well, I mean, in South Africa and Northern Ireland and many countries around the world where there's been war, deep division, and deep pain, there will always be people who can't accept that change. And it's for often very good reasons, this deep sense of loss. And many of these people, particularly in the Cuban American community, are afraid to betray the loss of their parents or grandparents. And everybody recognizes that. And particularly the people from other countries who have had to make peace. They don't think about it as whitewashing or putting it under rug. They say you actually do more to honor those people who have died or suffered by ending conflict and division and moving forward.
Is there going to be, as there was in South Africa, some kind of a reconciliation tribunal?
No, I doubt that. I think because unlike apartheid in South Africa, this was not a regime that collapsed. It's funny, one of the early stories about 3 years ago when we brought a group of very prominent Cuban Americans to Washington to meet with the then South African ambassador, a number of people were saying things like, well, we have to have a truth commission. We have to hold people accountable. And the South African ambassador said, I remember sitting in our first meeting with de Klerk with Nelson Mandela before he was president. And after the meeting, Mandela turned to us and said, comrades, we are not dealing with a defeated enemy. You have to change the way you address and think about these issues because otherwise they'll just pull up the cards and leave.
Yeah.
And I think one of the statements from the Vatican yesterday is you have to deal with the world as you find it.
Tim Phillips, co-founder of the group Beyond Conflict, which behind the scenes helped us get to the place where we are now in this new relationship between the U.S. and Cuba. Tim, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.